Blog Talk Radio.
And friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and the issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you will get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat. This is a fruit bat free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. Hey, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. Hope today finds you doing well. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vance, coming at you all the way from Durham, North Carolina. And if you would like to call in, be a guest to call into the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284, and you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. If you come in here and indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, random insults, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, just be respectful in your interactions on this program. So having said all that, like I said before, I hope everybody's doing well. Well, it's been an interesting week, newsworthy-wise, in the country this year. And it was kind of difficult for me to figure out which story to start off with first. And I figured I'd better go ahead and start off with the Whoopi Goldberg thing. And you all, those of you all who don't know, Whoopi Goldberg made an egregious mistake by saying that, well, I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but you all know Whoopi Goldberg. She's been in the spotlight for more than 30 years now. You know, we got familiar with her on The Color Purple, and, you know, she did some other various movies, yada, yada, yada. You know, she was once on she was once living homeless in the streets of Los Angeles, I believe it is. But, you know, because of her stardom, you know, she, you know, and capitalism, something that she seems to want to rave against. She's now a millionaire, if not a billionaire. I wouldn't be surprised if she is a billionaire. But in the 90s, she started hosting a program called The View. And her and some other female co-hosts, they get up there and they shoot forth their political points of view on the program. And the program has been running strong now for more than 20 years. And the View has basically become famous because of two of its hosts, maybe three. Whoopi Goldberg being one, Joy Behar being another, and Sunny Hostin. You know, and these are the most, you know, these are the most recognizable people on The View today. And they're known for, you know, their, I guess their off-base points of view about what, you know, about politics. And these ladies are not political experts. They seem, they act like they are. And, you know, they got a lot of people who agree with them and everything. They believe in, you know, they don't like Donald Trump. That's one thing. You know, they don't like anyone who's conservative, but they have a special hatred for Donald Trump. Matter of fact, Whoopi Goldberg cannot bring herself to even mention his name. When it comes to terms of Donald Trump, she says, you know who, which I find very disrespectful. And I think it's an outer witness of her inner hate for the man. You know, she hates Donald Trump. Of course, Joy Behar does. Sunny Hostin does. Every now and then, they'll get somebody up there who, you know, somewhat favors conservatism, but they don't go all the way conservative, you know, because this show is it's broadcast on ABC, and ABC is not known for supporting conservative viewpoints. So they're not going to get somebody who's totally, you know, conservative. They had what's her name, Meghan McCain, on there, which Meghan McCain, I think she's somewhat of a rhino. What's her name, Hasselbeck, that they had on there. She may have been the closest thing to a full conservative that they've had. But for the most part, they don't have people on that program who are going to be full-blown conservative, because that's not who they, that's not the type of people they want to support to their show. But Whoopi, you know, she gets up earlier this week, and she makes an egregious statement about the Holocaust. Now, those of you all who know about the Holocaust, those of you all who know history, you know the Holocaust was a period of time during World War II where, I believe it started before World War II, but it was a period of time in the 30s and the 40s where the Nazi machine got to rolling and it started persecuting the Jews. And not only that, it put the Jews in these ghettos and concentration camps and subjected them to horrible experiments. They were put in gas chambers and ovens and whatever, and 6 million of them were murdered by the Nazi regime. 6 million of them. And the reason for their extermination was because the Nazis believed that the Aryan race was the supreme race and that the Jews were inferior. Now, how they came up with this, I don't know. It may have something to do with the book Mein Kampf, written by Adolf Hitler. Though there are some sources that say that it was probably another author that authored that book, but I'm not going to go there right now. I digress. But this book was written by Adolf Hitler, and this may have influenced the Nazis' belief about the Jews, that they were an inferior race and that they were trying to purify the races for the white Aryan nation. Now, the thing here, the key phrase here is inferior race. That's what the Nazis saw of the Jews, that they were inferior. And I learned this in history class in the 80s. You know, this is what we learned. So Whoopi Goldberg gets up there and she says, the Holocaust was not about race. It was about man's inhumanity to man. I'm sitting there like, anything that you do that causes suffering to another person is a man's inhumanity to man. Why is she saying it with this case? I mean, slavery was man's inhumanity to man. You know, even though it dealt with, you know, black race and white race, which it wasn't totally about black and white. But she said that just had to do with man, so it wasn't about race. Even though the Nazis said they were trying to purify a pure race, a perfect race, basically what they call it, eugenics, to purify a pure race, you know, so they had to, you know, purge out the Jews so that they can have this pure race. And, you know, people will, and as a side note, I will say that this was probably this time in history, even though it didn't last as long as slavery, I think this was probably one of the worst atrocities, one of the worst human violations in human history, even worse than slavery. Yes, I said that. See, in slavery, people were just being kidnapped. They weren't being taken care of. That's why a lot of them died and whatever. But they were basically kidnapped to be put into hard labor. They weren't gathered up just to be executed. They were gathered to, you know, basically what they were free labor. That's what it was about, you know, because, you know, the plantation workers, I guess they didn't want to do their own work and, you know, hey, let's bring these slaves in here. They'll do our work for us and we can sit inside our homes and sip lemonade and everything. And any slaves get out of hand, you know, whoosh, you know. And because they felt that they were superior to the slaves, you know, they treated them in an unkindly fashion, which is atrocious. Slavery is another big case of man's inhumanity to man. But I don't think it was as bad as the Holocaust, even though the Holocaust didn't last as long as slavery. The Holocaust was about purging out the Jews. 6 million Jews were murdered within that short period of time that the Holocaust lasted. And many of them were subjected to horrible experiments and things of that sort. You know, I was reading somewhere that you ever heard of of chemotherapy? Chemotherapy, this is why I get a little antsy when I hear about people undergoing chemotherapy. Chemotherapy was born out of the torture of mustard gas on the Jews, if I'm correct. I know it comes from the practice of using mustard gas, and mustard gas causes all kinds of, oh man, it's one of the most horrible gases you can be subjected to. But the use of chemotherapy, see, we talk about chemotherapy, it kills cancer and all that and everything, but chemotherapy, its use was born out of observing mustard gas and its effects on its victims. And I believe most of those victims were the Jews during the Holocaust. Now, black people, they went through slavery. Slavery was horrible. Don't get me wrong. The Atlantic Passage and everything, and they all packed like sardines into the holes, into the bottom holds of the ships. Some of them died of malnutrition, disease, filth. You know, so don't let it sound like that I'm trying to downplay the horrors of slavery, because I'm not. But when you compare it to the Jewish Holocaust, it really doesn't compare. And a lot of people want to say, well, slavery, you know, that was the worst atrocities against human beings. I'd say, nah. But, you know, that's a moot point and everything. That's debatable and everything. But for Whoopi Goldberg to say what she did, you know, she's in the forefront. you know, she's in the forefront. She's got this show. She's one of the most iconic actresses in the history of cinema, you know, and a lot of times the problem with celebrities in my book is we think because we see these people a lot, we see them on the screen and everything, we think these people are so smart and they got it going on and everything like that. No, they just happen to be good actors and actresses. That doesn't mean that they're smart. And Goldberg's intelligence level was made known earlier this week when she said what she said. And it lets you know that a lot of these people that we hold in such high regard, we hold them in such high esteem, we act like that they are so smart and, you know, and they're just smart. That's why they're in the public often, you know, because they're so smart. But they're not. They might be smart as thespians, but not all around intelligent. And see, this is why, you know, people fall for this and they fall for these movie stars, oh, and they listen to what the movie stars say. And a lot of the movie stars, when it comes to practical knowledge or practical intelligence, they are sorely wanting. They're not as intelligent as we think or say they are. And for someone of Whoopi Goldberg's age, I believe Whoopi Goldberg is 66 years old. She should have known better about the Holocaust. And she said it wasn't about race. And see, what she's trying to do is try to say that the only people who are affected by racism are black people. No one else suffers racism as bad as we black people do. That's the narrative her and her co-patriots, her cohorts, try to push on a daily basis. No one suffers racism as bad as black people do. If you're Jewish, if you're Hispanic, if you're Oriental, if you're Indian, you don't suffer as much from racism as we black people do. And I really do have to, I really do believe that the atmosphere that we created within the last few years, I would say within the last 13 years, is pushing that point that only black people can be victims of racism, which is not true. And then you get some of these people that get up and will boldly declare to your face that black people cannot be racist, because they say racism is a political, what do they call it? A political construct. And it has to do with power. And you can't be a racist unless you have power. Well, here in the United States, we supposedly had a black man, which I don't believe Barack Obama is a totally black man. He has a white mother and a black father. So he, you know, when people say he was the first black man to become president, not really. That's that one drop rule nonsense. But we supposedly had a black man in the White House for 8 years, got reelected at that. We have black mayors. We have black senators. We have black governors. Black heads of city council, black heads of police departments, principals, everything. When I was in elementary school, for most of my tenure in elementary school, we had a black male principal named Mr. Clemens. From the time I was in fourth grade till the time I graduated in the sixth grade, that was our principal. But we have black people in all kinds of positions of power, but we still want to say that black people cannot be racist because we don't have the power to be racist. We don't have any influence over anyone. Now, if that isn't one of the stupidest statements I think I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what is. Basically, what racism is you hold your race, the race that you are a participant in because of your skin color, you hold that race above every other race. If you are a white person, you say, hey, I'm a white person, so white people are superior to everyone else. That's racism. Or you say you're black. Black people are superior to everyone else. That's racism. You're Oriental, same thing. Hispanic, Indian, whatever. It's the same thing. You holding your race above all the other races. And not only that, you have a hatred for the other races, but you gain, you allow special privilege for your own race. That is what racism is. Simple. It's a simple definition. But you got the pundits come in and they twist it around and they snip here, they cut there, and they inject their own point of view into it. And then next thing you know, they done changed the entire definition of what racism is. And basically, the apostles of blackness, the reason why they describe it that way, because see, racism has a negative stigma with it. When you call someone a racist, that that means a lot. And it carries a heavy negative stigma with it. And so black people don't want to see themselves as being negative or anything. So they say, oh, well, we can't be racist. And then they, you know, go and snip up the definition and change it to their point of view and say, we cannot be racist, but we can be prejudiced and biased. And I know I say this ad nauseum, but what in the heck do you think racism is? Racism is prejudice and bias. But basically what it is a prejudice and bias against someone of another race. That's basically what racism is. But when you say, oh, black people can't be racist, yes, you can. When you go up to a white person and you call him a cracker and beat him down, that's racism. You're not exempt from being racist. And see, a lot of times when we see the statistics on racism, we see it according to what white people do to black people. But black people need to understand that they have made major contributions to the statistics of racism themselves. What do you mean? We can't be racist. Yes, you can. Just because you say you can't be a racist doesn't mean that you're not. And I will go so far to say this, and you can quote me on this. The most racist group of people here in the United States are black folks. We get up here, we talk about the evils of the white man when a lot of the evils cannot be just contributed to white folks. I remember, you know, when I was growing up and someone's car might break down and these two black guys be working on it or something like that. They'll be having a conversation and say, yeah, these white people think they know everything. Well, if the white people don't know everything, why don't you build a better car? I had when I stayed in this boarding house, I may have related this story before. I was staying in a boarding house here in Durham. And I was telling people, you know, when you leave the kitchen or the bathroom, y'all cut the lights out. And this guy come talking about the white man. Oh, these white people told you, you got to turn the lights out and you believe them. And I'm like, what does this have to do with white people? All I'm saying is cut the light out. And then the person accused me of trying to be white. Now, how do you try to be white? I'm still trying to figure out the answer to that question today. How in the world do you try to be white? All I'm trying to be is me. I don't care. Look, I don't need to try to be a black man, okay? Because I'm already black. I don't need to show you fruits of my blackness. Because a black person is what I already am. Now, how do you try to be white? Someone please give me specifics on that. How in the world do you try to be white? You get a black person gets up, speaks eloquently, and knows how to use proper grammar in his speech and everything, and we said, oh, you trying to be white. They try to folks trying to say my mom was trying to be white. Because my mom, I'll be honest with you, the reason why I at least try to speak proper grammar when I go in the public, she used to get on us about speaking properly. You know, me and my brother would say, well, that was last week. She said, it's not was, it's was. Or a lot of people say white, but the proper pronunciation is white. You know, not white, white. That's how you pronounce the word white. And if you know how to speak properly and you speak like you know, like you're educated, like you got some sense up in your head, all of a sudden they say, oh, you just trying to be white. How do you try to be white? Like I said, I don't know how in the world a person tries to be white, how they attempt to be white. And see, they use this to shut down black people who don't agree like them, because to them, we are the sellouts. We're the ones who are still on the plantation that haven't escaped the plantation. But lo and behold, really, we are the ones who escaped the plantation. Because we don't want to hold to the black status quo. And see, like I say on this show, I've been saying it for 13 years. I am a free-thinking black man. I'm not going to agree with your point of view simply because you are black. The only way I'm going to agree with your point of view is if your point of view is lined up with the truth and with the facts. It has nothing to do with me being black. So you can call me a sellout and an Oreo and all that all you want to. But just because I'm black, I'm only black in skin color. That's why I call this show Black by Color Only. Being black doesn't mean I have to hold to the ideals of mainstream black America. No, that's not what I'm about. I'm about the truth. And like I said, it gets me in trouble. You know, I don't care. I really don't. But apparently this is something Ms. Goldberg doesn't understand, because she's part of that woke crowd. She's part of that, you know, black people are being oppressed and we're being held down by the white man, even to this day. She's part of that crowd that believes that we were in slavery for 400 years. I don't know why people keep pushing this 400 years thing. We were not in slavery for 400 years. The first slave that was brought to American shores was brought here in 1620. Slavery ended in this country in 1865. That's not 400 years, but they still talking about, oh, we're still in captivity even today. We're still being held captive by the white person. Well, if you think that way, then go on back to where you come from then. If you're thinking that way, and see, I hear conservative people saying this. Yeah, 400 years of slavery. No, we weren't in slavery for 400 years. We're in slavery for about 2.5 centuries, but that's not 400 years. And I wish people would stop pushing, you know, and see, they keep pushing this. They keep pushing it. They keep pushing it. And then eventually everybody, regardless of your political affiliation, you start saying it. Yeah, 400 years of slavery. It wasn't no 400 years of slavery. Just like they keep pushing this thing around about democracy. Yeah, we got to protect the democracy. We got to protect the democracy. This is not a democracy. The United States is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. We are a nation of laws. Democracy is mob rule. What you saw during Black Lives Matter a couple of years ago, that's democracy. Ruled by the mob. Bump the laws. The mob is going to tell you how things should be. That is what democracy is. But we are not a democracy. And I hear the conservative pundits. I hear the liberal pundits. I hear everybody, oh, we got to protect the democracy. No, we need to protect the republic. That's what we need to protect. Now, democracy has its purposes in some instances, you know, like in the military or something like that. But it shouldn't be the bigger picture. In other words, the republic holds the reins to democracy. It decides how far democracy is supposed to go. Democracy gets out of hand. The republic, the constitutional republic says, whoa, boy, no further. No, I want you to turn. No, you want to turn to the left. No, I want you to turn to the right. So we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. But we keep pushing these terms out there. We keep pushing it. And then all of a sudden, people start parroting the same lie. Oh, black people have been in slavery for 400 years. And basically, what it does is suppresses our common sense. We don't think about and we don't think about how long this country has been in existence. America wasn't born in 1620. And see, that's what the CRT, good gracious. The race theory, good gracious. I forgot what the C means. Critical race theory. That's what it tries to tell you, that the United States, when it brought its first slave over in 1620, that was the birth of the United States. No, it was not. The United States wasn't born until about 150 years later. And because of the birth of this country, that led to eventually the slaves being free. You know, people say, well, when the Constitution was made and, you know, the Declaration of Independence and all that, and it talks about all men are supposed to be free, they didn't have black people in mind. Well, if they didn't have black people in mind, then black people never would have been free. Well, what about the three-fifths clause? You know, that says we're three-fifths of a person. Once again, you do err not knowing history. Nowhere in the three-fifths clause does it even mention black people. But we throw that around. Oh, the three-fifths clause, that, you know, that's in the Constitution. That means we're seen as three-fifths of a person. No, that's not what that means. The three-fifths clause was about representation in Congress. Now, see, the slave owners, they basically saw their slaves as property, not as people. But when it came time to vote, they wanted to count their slaves as well, because if they counted their slaves, then they will always have an advantage every time a vote came up. So they came up with a three-fifths compromise. It was a compromise. And that's why the slaves were counted as three-fifths of a person, not because it was denaturing their manhood, but it made the representation more fair. That's where the three-fifths clause comes from. But they taught us, when I was in school, I remember in history, matter of fact, in 12th grade, they taught us that black people were counted as three-fifths of a person. But the Constitution doesn't say that. This is why not only should you study the Bible, which I tell people, you know, the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. You need to study the Constitution too. Because you got so many people going around talking about, oh, this is unconstitutional, this is constitutional. Okay, well, if this is unconstitutional or constitutional, let's go to the Constitution and see if it be that way. Now, see, I'm a man of the Bible, and when someone says something is unbiblical, then I go to the Bible and I try to look it up and I say, okay, well, this person don't know what they're talking about, because what I just said, what I just shared with them is not unbiblical. The Bible supports this. If it's unbiblical, I'll say, you know, this is unbiblical because it is not supported by the Bible. But we got so many people saying, oh, this is constitutional, this is unconstitutional, but they don't go to the Constitution. Excuse me. And why is that? Just like I said, like I've been saying for the past several months, you got people who are mentally and intellectually lazy, who basically want somebody else to do their thinking for them. Because just like physical labor, it's too much work for them to use their brains. And you can quote me on that one. But Whoopi Goldberg, she gets up there, oh, this wasn't about race. It's about man's inhumanity to man. Of course it was man's inhumanity to man, but it was about race. That's what it was about race. It was about purifying the perfect Aryan race. That's what it was. That's what the Holocaust was about. That's why 6 million Jews lost their lives, because they were seen as inferior to the Aryan race. And so now Ms. Goldberg has been suspended for 2 weeks. Now, let me say something right here. I don't think she should have been suspended, because I don't think that what she said was all that out of the way. I don't think she meant it to be insensitive or anything like that. I don't think she meant it to be an insult or whatever. I don't, you know, and I'm a person who believes in freedom of speech. I'm a person who believes in that. And even if you say ignorant a statement as Whoopi Goldberg made this week, she still has a right to state it. And I don't think she should have been suspended. Really, I don't. But I will say this. Now, Ms. Goldberg understands, or should understand, how it feels on the conservative side when someone who's a conservative says something that's out of the way, that's ignorant or whatever, and they get totally fired for it. See, she didn't get fired. Roseanne Barr, I forgot the name, I forgot the person that she was talking about, said she looked like she was born out of the I can't remember, but they said that one of the people that she was crossbred with Planet of the Apes and some other person. And they said that's what this lady looks like. I don't know the name of the person that they try to compare her with, you know. And, you know, Roseanne Barr got up there and said she looks like she's a cross between this person and Planet of the Apes. And, oh, my goodness. she got kicked off. She got totally disowned. And all it was a joke. It wasn't anything out of the way or anything. It wasn't racist, because you know when you compare someone who's black to a monkey or an ape, that's a racist term. But if you see this woman that she was comparing, saying that she looked like she was crossed between this person and Planet of the Apes, when you see her from afar, you'd be like, oh, that's a white woman. But she got fired, and she worked for the same company that Whoopi works for. And what about the things, the dirty and the filthy things people have said about Donald Trump all these years? Oh, they'll agree with that. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump is this. He's a that. And nobody meets the consequences of their error, except if you're, what's her name, Kathy Griffin held up that bloody head of Donald Trump. That's an exception. That's not the rule. But these ladies, Joy Behar, the rest of them on that show, they say all these dirty things about Donald Trump and conservatives all the time, but nobody calls them out on it. Now, it's been rumored that Whoopi Goldberg may end up quitting The View. I don't know if that's true. She said, oh, I was humiliated. Oh, think about the humiliation conservatives go through. Think about the humiliation that Donald Trump went through when y'all made all these false accusations about him. But now it's on your street now. Now you know how it feels, or you should know how it feels, because you know what? These people will take, they'll just roll with the punches and they'll continue on doing their little dirt. They're not going to learn anything from this. They're not going to sit there and say, you know what? The way we criticize the conservatives, oh, you know what? They don't feel so good now that I'm in that same boat now. They're not going to do that because they're a bunch of self-righteous. They're a bunch of self-righteous hacks. That's all they are. All they do is care about themselves and people who think like they do. That's all they care about. They're not going to sit there and say, oh, man, you know, that feels bad. So now I understand how the conservatives feel when I criticize them. Nah, they're not going to learn from it. And if Whoopi Goldberg does go off the scene, they'll be like, okay, Whoopi, thank you. You know, they'll probably have a special program about her, the years with Whoopi or something like that, and they'll just probably go on. I don't know if the show will survive without Whoopi, because Whoopi is one of the most iconic hosts on that program. But having said all that, I have no empathy for Whoopi Goldberg. I have no empathy whatsoever for Whoopi Goldberg. Because now you're getting a taste of what you've dealt out for years. And it doesn't feel good, does it? But anyway, I'm going to go on. Let me go ahead and go on. This week, those of you all who listen to this program, and listen to this program in the past, y'all know that I was a diehard football fan. Diehard football fan. And to put a finer line on it, I was a diehard Miami Dolphins fan. I've been a diehard since the 1970s. And you all know that here recently, within the past couple of years, I have had enough with the NFL, because, you know, it was already bad enough with the kneeling, with Colin Kaepernick talking about the oppression of black people, and he doesn't want to kneel for the flag of a country that oppresses black people, which black people are not being oppressed in this country. At one time, that may have been true, but right now, we are not being oppressed. we meet, a lot of us are meeting the same successes that white people are. That started it. But then 2 years ago, the Washington Redskins declared that we're going to get rid of the name Redskin because that offends Native Americans. That's like calling black people the N-word. So they basically got, and nobody ever thought about that for the year. Nobody ever thought about that. Everybody was like, Redskins, yeah, I'm a Redskins fan. Now, I was never a Redskins fan. Depending on what kind of, which teams they played, whether I'd be a fan of theirs or not. But altogether, I'm not a Redskins fan. I can't stand them. And I'm not saying that to say that I hate the Redskins. But I was not a Redskins fan. I think every Super Bowl that they were in, I rooted against them except for the Super Bowl where they played against the Buffalo Bills. But if they were to play the Buffalo Bills right now, I'd be rooting for the Buffalo Bills because they decided to change their name, and they come up with a very lame replacement for Redskins. Well, it's two of them in a row. First, they said, well, we're going to change our name to the Washington Football Team. Oh, boring. And now they are the Commanders. We're the Washington Commanders, yeah. And see, if I were a Redskin fan right now, I'd be ticked off. I would be ticked off right now because, you know, sometimes you'll go onto the social media sites and they'll say HTTR, that's short for Hail to the Redskins, which is probably the most famous football song in the entire NFL. You can't sing that song anymore. Hail to the Redskins, hail victory, Braves on the warpath, fight for all DC. No, you can't sing that song anymore. Hail to the Commanders. It doesn't ring as good as Hail to the Redskins. But they say, oh, this offends Native Americans and everything. I really think it honors them. But, you know, they got too woke. And see, here's the thing that gets me in all this. And I don't know if anyone else has noticed this. But you all ever know, like this goes along the lines of when they got rid of the black guy on Uncle Ben's, or they got rid of the black lady on Aunt Jemima. They got rid of the Indian on Land O'Lakes and everything. You all ever notice that these are the same types of people that we say that the white supremacists are against? And now, you know, I forgot the name of the Redskin on the Redskins helmet. He's gone now. But it's kind of funny, though, that the white icons haven't been touched. Y'all ever noticed that? Because I'm pretty sure that a white supremacist going into the grocery store, they see Aunt Jemima, they're like, man, I don't want to see that black woman on here. I don't want to see that black man on here. I don't want to see that engine on here. They probably had a meeting and said, you know, we got to do something about this. We can't be looking at these black faces out here. And one of their leaders probably came up and said, hey, all's not lost. We got the woke crowd out there now. We can just sit back, laugh at them. They'll get rid of all them icons, and we won't have to lift a finger to do anything to stop them. So basically, the woke crowd has done what the white supremacists could only dream of. They got rid of every black, Indian, or non-white icon that's out there. And those that are still out there, the woke crowd going to be coming after them too. If you're a Chiefs fan, get ready. If you're a Chicago Blackhawks fan, get ready. Do they still have that hockey team called the Canucks? I don't even follow that. I don't even follow hockey. Do they still have that? Get ready. But they were able to accomplish the woke crowd, the crowd that said we're for racial equality. They were able to do what the white supremacists could only dream of doing. And really, I'll be honest with you, if I were a white supremacist right now, I would be laughing my head off right now. These people talking about they like black people, but they ain't getting black people off their packages. Man, what kind of mixed up world are we living in? The cream of wheat, oh man, the cream of wheat man. That was my boy right there. The cream of wheat man, the cream of wheat chef. The black guy with the chef's hat with the bowl of cream of wheat and he's smiling at you as you eat your bowl of cream of wheat for breakfast. Oh, that was my man. That, to me, that was tragic. Y'all going to get rid of the cream of wheat, man? Seriously, y'all? That's my childhood right there. My mom come give me a big old hot bowl of cream of wheat with some milk and some sugar in it and some butter. And I'm sitting there, and that man smiling at me like, it's good, ain't it? Good. I fixed it up just for you. Had to get rid of him. Are you serious? Because it exploits black people. He's wearing a chef's hat. Because at one time, the cream of wheat man, they had a picture of him serving a little white baby. Oh, the horror. So I can't enjoy another bowl of cream of wheat. That's tragic to me. I grew up with the cream of wheat guy. Every time we open our cabinet, there you go. Cream of wheat man like, hey, I'm up here. Just let me know. It's time for breakfast. I'll cook you up a good batch of cream of wheat. But y'all keep following this woke mess. The woke crowd is just doing the job of the white supremacists. So now we can't see the Indian on the side of the Redskins helmets anymore because we got that W up there, which I think that's lame. The Cleveland Indians. I forgot what they changed their name to, the Dominators or something like that, Commanders or something. Well, it's not the Commanders. I forgot what they changed their name to. They got rid of their Indian. And y'all keep it up. We'll probably see the end of the Tomahawk Chop. We'll probably see the end of the Florida State Seminoles and any other team named after Indians. Y'all stay tuned. There's more to come. And see, this is one of the main reasons why I am no longer an NFL fan anymore. Because they gave in to the woke crowd. And my wife the other day, she said, I am so sad that you will not be looking forward to the Super Bowl this year. Because last year I canceled it. This year I'm canceling it too. She said, it is so sad that you're, and I said, yeah, it is. And I feel sad because I'm a diehard football. I love watching football. Every year, I will look forward to the football season. And even if my team, the Dolphins, won or not, you know, because for the past, I'll say past 30 years or so, they have really sucked. But even though they would never make it to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl, every time the Super Bowl came around, I was rooting for somebody in the Super Bowl. I love the game. I love the commercials. Nah, I don't like the halftime shows. The halftime shows suck. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care what anyone says. Well, the halftime shows have been so good since the 90s. No, they sucked since the 90s. A lot of that stuff on the Super Bowl is not family friendly. And I know people don't like the, you know, the cheesiness of the Super Bowl back in the 70s and the 80s. Well, I take those cheesy Super Bowl halftime shows over the fair that they have now. one of the main reasons why I don't go along with Disney anymore. I don't have the Disney Channel anymore because they want to go woke, teaching our kids about homosexuality and everything. Now, look, folks, let me tell you this. Let me say this before I go any further. I am not telling you not to watch Disney anymore. That's not what I'm telling you. I'm not a legalist. If you still watch Disney and everything, oh, have at it. But that's the conviction I have. You're going to go up there and teach my children, you know, with the Muppet Babies cartoon, and you're going to teach my children that it's all right to be a transvestite, to be transgendered. And you've been pushing this mess for years and years and years. No, I'm not buying into that. Now, you want to watch the Avengers or any of the Disney movies or anything, look, have at it. But I'm not catering to Disney because of that, because they've gone woke. And I heard someone say woke the other day. I heard them say woke means willfully overlooking known evil. Yeah, that's what it is. We woke now. Black people are being oppressed. Being a transgender is an alternate lifestyle. We have a right. And y'all want to push this stuff down our kids' throats? They can't go to school without their teachers teaching them this garbage. They want to push this stuff down our throats and tell us we need to accept it and that parents don't have a right to tell teachers what they should be teaching their kids. You done fallen outside of your mind. You have fallen way outside of your mind. But let me stop it there. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about the former Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores and his mess that he's got going on. But anyway, until then, you are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now, that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
As the technology of drones constantly grows and things get easier and easier to do, the cameras on the drones available are better too. So much so that mapping and surveying is now done with drones. That is the one area that Eye in the Sky Drone Services comes into play. You need your roof scanned out for work to be done up there? Call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. You need land photographed from the air? You need to call Eye in the Sky Drone Services. We can even do weddings from a perspective not seen anywhere but in the movies. All in 4K and full color, unless you wish to do your videos in sepia tone or even black and white. We can even go into the oil fields and take photos out there of oil rigs and pipelines too. That is Eye in the Sky Drone Services out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Email us at eyeinthesky@gmail.com or call us at 505-317-8741. Give us a call because we can do it all, because the sky is the limit.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I see you all in the caller's queue. If you all would be patient with me, I will get to you shortly. And once again, if you would like to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And when I left, I promised you all that I would talk about this situation dealing with Brian Flores, who is the coach of my once favorite team in the NFL, the Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores was hired by the Miami Dolphins about three seasons ago, and his first season didn't go too well. But his second, you know, his second and his third season, it looked like the beginning of this season wasn't going to go too well either, because they beat the Patriots, and then they proceeded to lose their next seven games. But after that, they won their next seven games, which they became the first team in NFL history to lose seven games in a season and then to win seven games in a season. But they didn't make it to the playoffs, and they decided to part ways with Brian Flores, which I did not agree with, because I'm like, he just gave you two winning seasons. You know, given he didn't make it into the playoffs, but they said, well, we're going to go with somebody else, you know. And, of course, there are probably people in the background talking about, oh, it's because he was black. And But he, sometime later, he comes up with these accusations that his firing had to do with him being black. And he comes up with this thing that Stephen Ross, who's the owner of the Miami Dolphins, he was going to give Brian Flores an incentive if he would lose his games. This is talking about the first year that he was coach. Stephen Ross said, you know, if you will go ahead and lose these games, then we can have a chance to tank for the season and we can get the number one player. And the accusation goes like this, that the owner said that if you, for every game that you lose, I'll give you an extra $100,000. Now, I'm still trying to figure out where the racism is in this. I'm still trying to figure that out. But I think three seasons ago, they got, what's his name, Tua Tagliavoa. I can't pronounce his name too much, you know. And he was the guy they were shooting for. They were shooting for him, you know, Tua Tagliavoa. And, yeah, they got him and everything. He's not doing so well with the team now. He's all right, but he's not doing as well as that they had hoped. But Brian Flores said that, you know, this is the situation that he found himself under when he became a Miami Dolphins head coach. Now, here's the thing I have to say about that. Why didn't he say, if this was true, why didn't he say this from the get-go? Really, to me, it sounds like someone who was disgruntled because he got fired, which I don't agree with him getting fired. But it sounds to me like he got disgruntled because he got fired and said, okay, I'm going to spill the beans now. Well, you should have spilled the beans when you first became coach. And you should have said, hey, wait a minute, this guy's telling me that he'll give me that's bribery. And see, here's my thing, too. Whenever you see, if this is true, this shows you the disregard the NFL has for its fans. Because when the fans come to the stadium to watch their team play, or they turn on their Samsung TV or their Vizio or whatever, they say, yay, go team, go team. They're expecting their team to win. They want their team to win every game that they watch. Now, it's not going to happen, but the fans are saying, hey, I want my team to win. No one's up there saying, no, lose, tank so we can get the best player next year. And the thing about this, too, even if you're telling your team to tank so you can get the best player from college, you know, the number one pick, it doesn't mean that that person is going to do well for your team, because we have seen too many examples of players, of top college players being picked first in the NFL, and they come to the NFL and they just totally flop. Ryan Leaf is a very good example of that. No, coach, you need to be focused on winning. That's why you play the game. You play the game to win. You don't play the game and say, yeah, let's just give a halfway effort so we can lose a game. And if we lose enough games, we'll get the best player out of college during the draft. But to me, that's kind of stupid because, like I said, we all know that the number one pick out of college doesn't always pan out well in the professional ranks. Tim Biakabutuka, Kijana Carter. Ryan Leaf. It's a whole lot of examples that I can give you right now. But if that did happen, first of all, Brian Flores is an accessory to their crime because he didn't speak up. But the NFL should give swift retribution to the Miami Dolphins. They should force Stephen Ross to sell the team and get his little tail up out of there. That's what I believe. But once again, something happens to a black man. He reaches in his pocket, pulls out that race card, throws it down, boom, race card. I don't see anything racist about this. And then not only that, he wanted to drag Bill Belichick into this thing, saying Bill Belichick was part of the problem. Now, I don't know why he bringing Bill Belichick into it. Now, I'm not a fan of Bill Belichick because he played for a team that was in the same division with my team, the Miami Dolphins. And, you know, very often the Miami Dolphins, you know, they fell victim to Bill Belichick. But one thing I will have to say, Bill Belichick is probably the best coach in NFL history. Got to give credit where it's due. Yeah, folk can talk about, oh, what about the cheating and all that? No, he won 6 Super Bowls. Brought his team to 9 of them, won 6 of them. You can talk about cheating scandal all you want to. But the fact is, he was a doggone good coach. He's a doggone good coach right now. That's what I told one of my friends, and he lives in Florida. You know, he was talking about how much his team sucks and everything. And he's a New England Patriots fan. He said, yeah, my team sucks right now. I said, you know what, your team going to be fine because y'all got Bill Belichick. But my team, we suck every year. But y'all got Bill Belichick, so y'all going to be fine. But he wanted to bring Bill Belichick into it. Now, Bill Belichick was the reason why the Miami Dolphins considered hiring Flores in the first place. Oh, he played under Bill Belichick? Yeah, come on. Now, Bill Belichick's understudies, when they've gone to other teams, they haven't really panned out that well, you know. Just ask Matt Patricia for the Detroit Lions. They haven't panned out too well. But it gives them some pull. Oh, you play with Bill Belichick? Come on, we'll take a chance with you. But now everything has gone south for Brian Flores, and now he wants to come out with all this stuff all of a sudden. I think it's someone who's been sucking on bitter grapes, and he's disgruntled, and now he wants to say all this and everything, you know, wants to throw out that race card. Wants to throw that down. But, you know, we'll see. But if this is true, if his allegations, if Brian Flores is, allegations ring true, then the Miami Dolphins could be in a lot of trouble. And not only that, we might not know them as the Miami Dolphins for much longer. Well, you know, Virginia needs a professional football team, you know. And don't tell me that they got the Washington Redskins. No, they don't. You got the Washington Redskins, and about 30 minutes away, you got the Baltimore Ravens. So don't give me that. But, you know, Virginia needs a professional football team. You know, when they move up there, call them the Virginia slave hoarders or something. I don't know. Folks, I'm just being funny. That's all. You might, oh, that's not funny. But that's just me being facetious. But, yeah, why doesn't Virginia have a professional sports team? They don't have a professional sports team. And I say that because I'm a Virginia man. I was born in Virginia. You know, how come we don't have a professional sports team? You know, we can have the Hampton Hammerheads or the Roanoke Rattlers or the Alexandria Anacondas or something like that, you know. The Bristol Bombers, the Chesapeake Catfish, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just me, folks. That's just me. But anyway, I think I hear the flapping wings of the fruit bats. Uh-oh. Got a little problem with my siren here. Well, let me go to the old siren. This is a revolting development right now, but my siren's not working. Here we go. Fruit bat alarm. That means when I go to the phones, if you want to indulge in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks, random insults, excessive profanity, trolling, things of that sort, you best hang up now, because if you don't, I'm going to hang up for you. But anyway, let me get my callers here, get this first caller here. I think I know who this is. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Boy, my blood pressure elevated, my pulse and breathing increase when I hear that siren.
Fruit bat number one, report again.
The call to the fruit bat. Nothing like it, man. There's nothing like it. That's better than a slice of hot pizza and a beer. Although I don't drink beers. You know, that was a good analogy you put out on the NFL. NFL is a private. That's a private entity, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
And Congress don't have no authority over those private business.
No.
And they hire and fire whoever the hell they want to. It's the way they are. They don't come up underneath the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Yep.
They've been moved to try to, but they don't. So, they hire and fire who they want. Hell, the NFL is 70% black, isn't it?
Yep.
I don't know how they're going to use a race card on that.
I mean, for real, that's one of the things that I've told several people. One of the main reasons why I don't like watching an NFL game now, because when you look in the end zone, they talk about, they have this phrase that says end racism and all that and everything. Look, I don't need to see that when I watch an NFL game, because I'm sitting here watching about, I don't know how many millionaire black guys running up and down the field, knocking each other senseless for millions of dollars. And you want to talk about end racism? Come on now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, look how the young people, young kids in school, from elementary school, peewee, elementary school and high school, how they're being exploited by that organization.
Yes.
They're putting their life dreams into something that's not achievable.
Yep.
And what they're actually performing on is training fields.
Yep.
And not getting paid for it. And that there is kind of ridiculous. But you know the thing about that is when they was doing all the Black Lives Matter and talking about that proverbial word racism and all this stuff. You know, those players, they invest their money. And they have money managers that do the investment.
Yep.
And guess what they be investing in? They invest in companies like Vanguard, BlackRock, Morgan Stanley, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Trump Holdings, South Africa Teacher Pension Plan, Police Pension Plan, 401ks, and more invest into the pipeline. Guess what? They invest in CXW and GEO. You know what those two are?
No, I never heard of them.
CXW is the old Correction Corporations of America, or today's CoreCivic. And GEO, based in Florida, both of them are private prisons.
Wow.
And they donate to the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus.
Well,
so,
but no one tells you that, though.
No, they calling up their investment manager and say, hey, don't be investing. No, they invest in things that's paying and reaping the best rewards. That's what they do. So you don't hear them saying that we're not going to invest in that. They ain't going to do it. And I don't blame them. You know who it remind me of? I'm going to ask you a question. There was a lady of notoriety today. She had a husband that got killed. And she married another man. This is a black woman. There we go. Who was 20 years plus her junior. She's an astute business person. She departed Maryland, over there in your neck of the woods. She went to New York and purchased land. I mean, she purchased land. She farmed it and produced. Also, she not only did she produce products on farmland, but she also had an operation that produced masonry bricks. She ran a multi-purpose boarding house. Unfortunately, it burned down, but she replaced it with one built of modern material. Must have had insurance. She also produced vegetables and dairy products. She raised livestock and grew a fruit orchard. She ran a middle-class income business operation. Now, I might give her away on this. She received a military pension. And her husband, who served in the Union forces, who died before she did, she received a widow's pension for her husband, who served. Now, can you name this lady?
That's a hard one. Would it be the future face of the $20 bill named Harriet Tubman?
Ooh, go, go, ding, 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 ding. You are absolutely right. She was better off economically than probably 90% of whites in the country.
Yep.
Harriet Tubman. Even though she stole people's property. Right?
Probably did. Yep.
That was theft. She was stealing people's property. They had a $40,000 bounty on her head. But nobody talks about how wealthy this woman was. I mean, railroad fuel and stuff is not free. And, you know, you talk about people using, saying things, getting away, like Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi Goldberg made mention that I heard, read. She said this. To the certain extent, Nazis and whites are the same. Now, is that not racist?
Really, it is.
And really, too, it's inaccurate, too, because there were black Nazis.
Yep.
And look at the things that Jimmy the Greek said that got him in trouble when he talked about how the slaves was bred, which is true because they had stopped the importation. So they went to, going through that process. And look at what was the other guy that's called the female basketball team called them nappy headed hoes.
I know who you're talking about.
Imus.
Host of NPR. I forgot his name.
Imus.
The older guy. Yeah.
Yeah, Imus. Imus was his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Rutgers basketball team. He got in trouble for saying that. But she says what she says and don't get completely kicked out. She should have. It's racist.
Yeah.
You made mention of Roseanne Barr, right?
Yeah. And I look at it like, I don't think she should have gotten kicked out, but given what we have seen in the past, you know, you see the double standard that's going on. You know, she just gets a 2-week suspension, but other people, they'll get kicked out. And that's why I said I don't have no sympathy for Whoopi Goldberg. I don't, because now
she
can understand.
She's using her color, her female, and blackness as privilege.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's white privilege, it's black privilege.
Yep.
But wait a minute. I heard watched on a video, where the New York mayor called whites crackers.
Mm-mm.
Just recently. Talking in front of a group. Called them crackers. Why come that ain't all up and down the breaking
exactly.
News?
Mm-hmm. Might not be as hard-hitting as the N-word, but it's still insulting. You know, word honky was, it's still insulting.
It depends on who it's for. To whites, it's insulting. It's hard. You can read in Essence magazine how a black female is talking about her white husband use the N-word when they having sex.
Yeah.
And it's probably vice versa, how a white male white wife or a sex partner is using the N-word when he's having sex with her.
Yeah. It's a messed up world we live in. We live in today.
You're talking about the teams. University of Missouri, Columbia, the Mizzou Tigers. The tiger come from a Confederate battle group. That's how they named
themselves. Oh, really?
I
didn't know that.
Yeah. And then you got this woke stuff where GoFundMe don't want to be the recipient of those who's contributing to the truckers in Canada.
Yeah, I saw that. I said that's completely ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But don't worry. Now they're the Bitcoin for truckers. And I'm happy to see it. And I'm going to contribute to it if I find out where its source is.
They got a Bitcoin for truckers now?
Bitcoin for truckers in this movement. Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's a new one.
Mm-hmm. They can't stop that, can they?
No.
And then my hero, oh, you know, you talk about removing those pictures off of those product boxes. Have you tried Cousin T's pancakes?
Cousin T's? I've heard of that. Who does Cousin T's? I've seen that
that's
somewhere.
Terrence Williams, the young black male pro Donald Trump. So when they started taking off these images off of these products, he came up with his own product called Cousin T's pancakes, an assortment of. I bought about 3 boxes. Isn't it nice how all this stuff is playing out? We don't have to fool with them people no more.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tell you. Yeah, and I mean, like I said, the woke crowd, they're doing the job of the white supremacists while they're saying they don't support the white supremacists, but you're doing their job for them, you know, because all these iconic iconic symbols, they're taking all off of our, but they're taking off of our food products and everything. But I was in Target yesterday shopping for groceries, and guess whose face is still on the food product?
Who is
that? Quaker Oats guy. The Quaker Oats guy.
Man.
I'm like, oh, I'm amazed they ain't canceled him. Said, wait a minute, he's a Quaker. You know, he probably owns slaves or something, which I don't think the Quakers own slaves. But, you know, I'm amazed to see his face. I'm like, okay, so this white guy is still here. But all of our black, Indian, whatever, they're off the product now because, you know, we's woke now. You know, we's woke.
Well, you know. On the word slave is the word slave is being misconstrued here in the United States because you had what you call free slaves.
Certainly do.
I know you've heard the term before. That was free slaves. They got paid.
Yep certainly
and
did.
The slaves got paid. Slaves was property. I mean, that's just the way it was back in the day. If you want to get rid of somebody's property, just like it is today. Most recently, maybe you could say, I'm not sure, with the Japanese when they lost their property during World War II. Well, the United States came along and compensated them for that.
Yep.
When the Indians gave up their black slaves, African slaves, the United States compensated them for it because they said, we ain't giving them none of our property unless you pay us for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it was.
Yeah.
Back in them days. And if it wasn't that way here in the United States, guess where it was like that? In Africa.
Yep. Probably one of the best examples.
And they have many classifications of a slave. Everything from a pawn. You know what a pawn is, don't you?
Pawn is someone that you use for your own benefit, basically?
Well, no, not really. For instance, suppose I owed you $100 and you come, Pion, I need my $100. And Ken, I say, wait a minute. I'll let you, here, you keep my son and I'll have your money in 3 weeks. So you take the son and you work him. Then I come and pay you what I owe you, and he comes back home with me. Those were pawns. They were slaves.
Oh, yeah.
They had them that was captives in war. They had them that were debt, pawns, and, of course, regular slaves. And especially the ones with debt. If I come over, I'm playing baseball in the street, and I hit a ball and bust out your window, I don't cause you harm. So I owe you restitution.
Yeah.
In those situations, if I didn't come up with the restitution, especially not, maybe not in one individual, but if it was a group that done you harm, like stole your, raided your fields and took your millet, your maize, or burn something, you'll rob your chicken or your cow. And you caught me. Well, I had to pay restitution. Are you going to do what? You're going to go down to the shores on the beachfront where the barracoons are, and you're going to sell me off in order to recompensate what I destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if it was war and you got caught, rather than going through the level two, they're going to kill you because they don't want you coming back next month. Anyway.
Exactly.
So much for
but,
that.
But let me, I think our favorite fruit bat has finally returned to the show after a month and a half hiatus. But let me see who this is. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Uh-oh, this ain't Sarge. I thought it was Sarge. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Ed, the Anti-Fed from Florida. How you been?
Oh, doing good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. But you were being a little politically correct, or I should say incorrect. You were talking about the football team, but they need to take away, they need to just call it the D.C. football team because Washington owns slaves. They should not use that name. They should get rid of that name, too. They got rid of the other part and just call it the D.C. football team. Wouldn't that be more appropriate?
You might have a point there, and given too that your typical commander happens to be a white person, so I mean, you might have a point there.
it kind of gets to me that they're calling, you know, they got rid of part of it, but they didn't get rid of the other part, and that part I thought was worse than the other part. I mean, you know, people can't help they have red skins, but you know, Washington purposely owned slaves.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there. that name needs to go.
Yeah.
We got to get our country straight.
I mean, for real. And you know, to me, the Washington team, they'll always be the Redskins to me. They'll always be the Washington Redskins, you know. And I don't see anything derogatory.
But they should just call it the D.C. football team. We've got to get rid of those other things. They're just bad terms. I mean, we've got to come to, you know, we got to get rid of this this white supremacy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the way it is. But truthfully, you know, the United States was founded on white supremacy. And it did have white supremacy for even from 1776, I would say, right up through King. You know, there was a lot of white supremacy going on. But it's getting better.
Well,
but I mean,
well,
truthfully,
I'll put it like this. We had significantly more white supremacy in this country than we do now. And when someone brings up the term white supremacist, they say, well, this is because of white supremacy. I tend to poo-poo them because I'm like, you know, You could probably fit all the white supremacists. You probably couldn't fill up half a football stadium with the white supremacists that are in this country today, you know. And it's a term that just wears me down. You know, I get frustrated every time I hear, oh, this is white supremacy. This is white supremacy. And when you got black people in this country who are making more than your average white person is, you know, they talk about the NFL is overrun with white supremacy, you know, because, you know, they got these players.
With black millionaires.
Yeah, they're a bunch of black millionaires running up and down the field, and they make more than your average white person does. So I'm like, if that's white supremacy, you know, count me in. Shoot, I mean.
Hey, Vincent, let me ask y'all a question if I could. What in the hell is white supremacy?
You know what?
Well, during the slavery days, that's easy to answer. And during the Jim Crow days, when they kept people down.
What about all the black slaveholders, though? And he's talking about
that many. There was a few of them, but I mean, there wasn't that many of them.
In South Carolina, they own upwards of 30,000 slaves. That ain't a many.
Yeah, in North Carolina, black slave owners, white slave owners.
Right, but the majority were white slave owners, but the black ones were just as bad as the white ones because they were slave owners.
Mm-hmm. On the eve of the Civil War, just like Christmas Eve, then Christmas, Santa Claus come on Christmas, less than 3% of whites in this country had anything to do with slavery. And cotton didn't come to the United States. You know the movie Cotton Comes to Harlem?
Well, I'll
in the late 1700s.
3% is 3% might have, less than 3% owned it, but a lot of people benefited from its the labor. You know, I mean, a lot of people did benefit from labor, and even up north they benefited a lot from it, and in the European countries, and, you know, the whole thing, there was some benefit.
Yeah, but we only can talk about the United States, but let's talk about African countries. They were involved in slavery for probably 1,000 years before they even met anybody white.
Oh, not only that, who sold the Africans who were enslaved here? It was the blacks who sold their own people off.
Yeah, exactly.
They grabbed them and said, hey, look, we catch this other tribe we don't like. We're going to sell them off, you know, and I understand that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what white supremacy is. White supremacy is when you look at certain industries. When you look at offshore oil well drilling, equity financing, leverage buyouts in certain industries, the face behind the majority is usually white. But if you don't like it, compete against it.
And my point exactly.
When they own the system, it's pretty hard to compete against. I mean, if you get down to it, it's the Federal Reserve. Who owns the Federal Reserve? You know, who are the people behind the Federal Reserve?
You know those buildings that fell down in New York in 9/11? You remember that? I erected buildings like that. My own company. I started doing it when I was about 19 and got to a point where I started my own business doing it. I'm a black man. You heard of me?
No, I never heard of Pianchi Savings and Loan.
We erected bridges, industrial plants, sewage plants, bridges over the highway. We did all those things. My company. So the majority of the people in that industry was white, but I took away a piece of their pie to form mine. Then Nigeria controls about 20-some-odd% of offshore oil well drilling. That's a country that's 99% white, black. And then you got a Nigerian, Aliko Dangote, building the world's largest oil refinery. So people talk about white supremacy. I don't know what they're talking about. If they're talking about business. And I don't know any white person that really think that we're superior. If they are, there's something wrong with their head. Innerly, anyway.
Yeah. Well, let me stop you all right there. Let me bring on this other call. I got two more callers to bring on. Let me bring on this one. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Man, they told me if I call this number, I could find a refuge from fruit battery.
Hey, sorry.
Is that right?
What's going on, Pianchi?
I've been listening enthralled as usual. I really appreciated what you had to say about Harriet Tubman.
Oh, sorry. Do you know what else could I say?
Oh, but I got something for you that I'm sure you're going to find very interesting. And you too, Brother Vince. And for your caller, I didn't hear the gentleman's name, but you can't use the Washington name either for the team because it's Washington, D.C., District of Columbia, named for a genocidal white oppressive colonizer. Can't use that name either.
Oh, wow. Now, I never thought of it. District, yeah.
So anyway, I mean, I'm just saying, man. So sorry, we got to look for another name. Can't use Washington either. But look, this is what I'd like to say about Whoopi Goldberg, man, because that was really, I thought her foolishness and her facile simple-mindedness was an opportunity to explore a cogent window into the thinking of these leftist woketopians, at least what passes for thinking and reasoning from these shallow people. I mean, they are truly shallow. Now, first of all, let's get one thing straight here. The Nazis had a thing they called the SS Race and Resettlement Main Office. In German, it's Rasse und Siedlungshauptamt der SS. And that was the outfit responsible for safeguarding racial purity of the SS within the Nazi Party. Now, you go read Hitler's Mein Kampf, and you look at volume number 11, and right there on page 284, he's classifying Jews as a race. Now, look, I'm not here to try to defend the philosophies of Nazi racial theory at all. That's like trying to defend racial theories of the Democrat Party. But the fact of the matter is, aren't leftists always telling us that race is nothing but a social construct? So if that is true, then Hitler constructed the Jews into a race. And they always tell the white supremacists to do it, don't they?
Yeah.
Don't they? So that's what he did. He constructed the Jews into a race for his own purposes. Mm-hmm. Now, here's another thing, too, about this this preposterous Whoopi Goldberg comment. Again, like I said, it offers a very cogent window into the way they reason or their lack of ability to reason. See, leftists assign oppression hierarchies and rankings. They call this theory intersectionality. Okay? In other words, different identity groups get different rankings on the racial hierarchy oppression scale, the intersectional scale, based upon the nature of the group that oppresses them in many cases. Now, Jews, are, according to their reasoning, are only genuine victims of oppression when some variation of white supremacist oppresses them. Now, that's the only time they're really considered to be victims, you know, because if you look at Jews as a group and a whole, they tend to be disproportionately successful within Western civilization, and particularly the United States. Now, as we all know, beneficiaries of Western civilization in the United States, according to the left woketopians, are, in fact, privileged. They are benefiting from white privilege, whether they're white or not. And in the case of Jews being oppressed by white supremacists, then they become victims. Now, they get, are being attacked by black thugs in the street, or if they're being attacked by, being discriminated against by or attacked by Palestinians in the Levant, well, they're not really victims then. They're privileged masters of Western civilization and white privilege. So it all depends. See, you understand how it is with leftists and intersectionality. Now, I think Goldberg, you know, and in Whoopi Goldberg's case, she was attempting to diminish Jewish victimization by assigning their sufferings to a general class called crimes against humanity. And it's kind of odd that you would pick the ultimate white supremacist, in this case Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. It was odd that she'd consider them the pick. But remember, in today's context, right now, on the intersectional scale, Palestinians and Arabs rank very much more highly on the intersectional scale of victimization than Jews do, much higher. So for her purposes, she diminishes the suffering of Jews by simply saying it's a generalized crime against humanity, and they're not really going against a specific race and group, because after all, Jews are white. You got to remember one thing about these woketopians. Their reasoning is convoluted. It meanders and follows whatever path it needs to follow in order for them to achieve their agenda and their objective. The only thing consistent about their standards is they have no standards other than the success and furtherance of their agenda.
And if I may, Sarge, if I can get in there, like I said earlier before, you know, this follows along the lines of this black people can't be racist type of deal. We're always the victims. We're the victims all the time. We're just innocent people, and we're always victimized. But the Jews, they weren't victims, really. They, you know, you know, that's. But,
unless the white supremacist is doing it to them, like, you know, the people in the synagogue, the people don't, you know, they had a white supremacist, they had tagged, but the killings in that synagogue and. Pittsburgh or Ohio, and one in, I forget where the other one was. He's kind of a white supremacist, had white supremacist leanings or whatever. Then in that case, they might assign a bit of intersectionality, oppressive status to a Jew, to Jews then. But that's only then. Any other time, they're really privileged beneficiaries of white privilege in Western civilization.
Exactly.
I mean, these people are really insidious in the manner in which they reason. And when, see, and when you start to poke holes in the logic of their twisted philosophy, that's when they try to browbeat, bully, and intimidate you into silence, because they really can't hold a constructive, rational argument against you. That's why they rely so heavily on browbeating, bullying, and intimidation.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know... guess who else was a Jew? Fidel Castro. He was a Moreno. He was Catholic by day and Jewish by night.
And who was that?
You know,
who was that, Bianchi?
Fidel. Cuba Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro. Oh.
And Sammy Davis Jr. was Jew, but anyway, you know, here's another thing that makes this so prominent today. It's because the white population in this country has sunk to such a level of unintelligence that they these groups pull anything over their eyes. That's a big problem. I never. Is the caller on? Is the other caller on?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. You heard of the Tuskegee experiment, right? Where blacks was, you heard of that, right? Have you heard of the experiment with white males, where white males was injected with malaria? Did you hear about that?
Whites were exposed to atomic bombs and everything. It's not like
I know. But let me ask you. Let me ask you this:
big government, big brother. They don't care who they step on.
Yeah, but here's the thing, But what they always throw in your face is about blacks and the Tuskegee experiment. But you never have heard of the time that white males was injected with malaria.
And see, I ain't never heard of that either. I'm beyond honest. Well,
exactly.
Malaria.
They used to send them down to Panama Canal before it was
Panama.
This even got
to
Nicaragua
when
they were starting to build the canal system.
This is in the 1930s.
Oh, well,
here
that
in
doesn't
the United States.
Me.
White males was injected with malaria because malaria brings about temperature in order to see if it would help cure them of syphilis. That was an experiment. I guess they will. But you always thrown up what they throw to you is about the Tuskegee experiment.
Yeah.
And there's other things, too, that you aren't. For some reason, you just don't know anything about. And you just laid
over. I've never heard of that. I never heard of that right there. That's a new one to me. You know, let me get this other caller on here. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is Fruit Bat number 4. And I was looking. And I just want to say, thank you very much. I just want to say you should have put me on there first, because if you didn't know the answer, I knew the answer. Harriet Tubman. History is one of my best subjects in school. Now, getting straight to football, the NFL sucks. I go back to Copeland Kaepernick. They spent too much time talking about him instead of talking about the upcoming games for that year, for that day, excuse me, that day. And then one or whatever they had at nighttime. And I understand that. We need to stand on our principles. Because I'm still going to watch some football, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm not 100% like I used to be. I'm probably down to about 70%, maybe 65%. And the way things are going, I might be like you, Mr. Vincent. I might be like you.
Hey.
So, I'll tell you one thing I noticed about the NFL, man, they've kind of tamped down all that public racial rhetoric about the police did bad and all this other jive. Then it kind of tamped that down a little bit because I know they realized it wasn't selling. They're still doing it, but they're not doing it publicly out there in the football field no more. Have you noticed?
Well, they still got the end racism phrase in the end zones.
On their helmets,
And it's on their helmets and in the end zone because I was watching a game the other day, you know, watching some headlights, and they had end racism. And
oh, no,
like,
they're not
going to
get rid of it entirely, but believe me, they have definitely toned it down this season.
Yeah, they have. They have. But, you know, the thing about the Washington Redskins, that just took me over. That took me over the limit. That was like, okay, that's enough. I'm sick of the whole thing. You know, I mean, and I have no problem with owner changing the name of their team, but to do it under those circumstances, that was the problem I had, you know, being woke and all that and everything. You know, they can change the name of the Miami Dolphins to the Miami Barracudas. I mean, I'll probably still, you know, well, I'd probably still root for them, but, you know, but the wokeness, that's the thing that bothers me in all of this. And it's seeped into every cracked crevice and cranny in our society. Everything has to be political. Everything has to be, well, this got to be a racial reason here, and we got to be politically correct over here. And I get tired of the whole thing. You know, I'm just sick of the whole thing.
I tell you one thing I'm sick of, the taunting too. They need to get rid of that taunting rule because it's just crazy.
Oh yeah, the taunting rule in the NFL. You know, someone makes a good play and they say, "Yeah, oh, that's taunting." Oh, come on, really, y'all? Come on now. You know, because sometimes people, they get pumped up for the game and they, yeah. Now, if you're in someone's face and say, yeah, tell your sister I'm a dater tonight at 8 o'clock, yeah, then I'll throw the flag then. But, you know, when a person is pumped up, and, yeah, I made a good catch and whatever. Come on, y'all. Y'all reverting back to the no fun league.
I tell you, I think what we're looking at all over this country right now is the second great awakening of the United States. The first one was in the early part of the 18th century. Now it's beginning to happen. Now you'll see what's going on. And all places, I did not expect the Canucks up there in Canada to start a Liberty train rolling in the form of semi-trailers going down the highway, but there it is. Starting to spread here to the United States. People are going to stand up for not freedom necessarily, but liberty. You people do not understand the distinction. They need to understand the distinction. Liberty has elements of freedom. Freedom has elements of liberty, but they're not the same thing. Liberty is freedom from arbitrary and capricious government. And more people are standing up saying, we don't want this damn government everywhere inserted everywhere into our lives in every single sphere where it either has no legal, ethical, or moral right to be. And I love it. I've been saying bring back liberty. Bring back the understanding of the word liberty, not freedom.
Yeah.
Liberty, because I like to have the freedom to smack a lot of liberals upside the head. but then again, law should restrain me from just doing it arbitrarily and capriciously and should impose sanctions on me should I do it without proper cause. The thing that is
like
now,
Patrick
we need
Henry.
To find a way to restore liberty.
Give me liberty or give me death. You sound like Patrick
Thank
Henry.
You. Thank you. I mean, this mandate from these school boards, mandates from this senile old cult of a moron president, this crazy Congress, this utterly corrupt cacistocracy that's running us, they all, I mean, for the first time in my life, I can honestly say I'm favorably considering insurrection. I'm looking at it favorably. Now, notice, FBI,
wow.
I didn't say I'm going to commit it. I said I'm looking upon it more and more favorably with regard to this particular government. It's
well, you know,
Dan,
I don't like you.
It is the worst I have ever, ever seen or imagined I would see at every level of government, federal, state, and local.
Just like the news service don't report things. You had a black man in Tennessee, Emmanuel Sampson, and he came to this white church maybe two Sundays in a row, and the last time he came to the white church, he was going to kill white. He was going to kill 10 whites. They shot some. I don't know if he shot 10 or what. Well, when they went to do the research and checking his belongings at his home and everything, he had plans on killing at least 10 white people. Ain't heard nothing about that. Y'all
yeah,
heard anything about
that? In Waukesha, man.
Nah, I haven't heard anything about
it. How come they shoved that down the memory hole?
I haven't either.
Goodness.
The one guy ran over a woman trying to get away from a mob in Charlottesville. We didn't hear the end of that forever. They're still referring to that. Waukesha, this guy killed 6 people by running him over an SUV, puts dozens more in the hospital, and it's all down a memory hole now.
Yeah, he even has something written about white folks, too.
Man,
he was zigzagging in the streets.
Man, it's full of 5%er black supremacy crap, man. He was an NOI 5%er. He was like a black Nazi, literally. He read rap songs. He was an inspiring rapper. We talked about killing white people.
Yeah. Nothing's heard about that. I don't
understand.
No,
it's all down a rabbit hole, man. You don't need no. The intersectionality scale, that's pretty low. Don't be paying no attention.
Man,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
just something. And like I said before, I never seen such a large section of the white population in America cow down the way they are doing.
It's amazing, ain't it?
You remember the one scene
like
where you had white?
Castrated that many of them or something.
Whites are kissing the shoes of blacks
January
6th. Asking for
what about January 6th? They stood up there.
Well, that's a whole
yeah,
different
but I'm
story.
Just saying, I never thought I'd see such a large percentage. Yeah, I'm not saying, look, there's still lots of white people, particularly white men, who understand what may need to be done. I'm saying I never thought I would see such a large percentage of the population acquiescent, compliant.
Well,
I
know
what
it starts with
now.
The Republican
they literally
Party.
Twist themselves into pretzels in order to rationalize a lot of this insanity.
Yeah.
Well, let's just take the school board meetings. Whites in these white school districts, you got all this dumb nonsense going on where whites are being accused of being terrorists when they go to try to hold a school board accountable.
What? Yeah.
There's
a
hand up there.
And then you got, and then you got some of these crazy women over there in Scandinavia. When they talk about these immigrants raping all these kind of incidents of rape are up like 45, 55, 65, 75% in many of these Scandinavian countries, and they actually have these women, crazy women protests. I'd say I'd rather have a rapist than a racist.
God damn it.
Are you going to do with people who think this way?
I can't.
Oh,
you know what
gosh.
The rate is in America? 30% of the white women that's raped, the person that raped them is black male in the United States. 30%.
According to every police statistic I read when I was a police officer, out of the women who report rapes to the police, again, this is a specific subset I'm speaking of. Women who report being raped to the police, they report. It doesn't matter what the woman's race is. Out of that universe of women, 80% of them say it was a black male offender that did it.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. Obviously, not every word rape is true. Some
no.
rapes are mistaken identity. Okay, I'll give you that. But I think it would indicate that whenever you hear this thing about white men raping black women and whatnot, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand, unless, of course, you believe black women are being raped and they're not telling anybody about it.
And two, to the white caller, you talk about this thing about white police brutalizing black suspects. In Chicago, as of this past Wednesday of this week, you have had 3,541 blacks shot by other blacks and 480 murders in only 241 days. No white police officer shot nobody. Why come that's not being thrown out there when they throw these cases up here about whites mistreating, white police mistreating blacks that are suspects? Why?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why?
We know why that is. It's very simple. The left is about power. Power, pure and simple. They want to do two things. They want to insinuate themselves into power by whatever means necessary, number one, first and foremost. And when they do that, they wish to fundamentally transform and restructure this country. Crime is one of the tools in their utility belt to enable them to do it. The fear of crime is one of the things they can use, they think, to their benefit and their aggrandizement. That's why they do it. Now, look, we've got to keep one thing in perspective here. Most black men are not criminals. Most black men are not rapists. Most black men are not murderers. However, there is a outsized, disproportionate number of black men who are and are doing these things, and we will never fix the problem if we do not honestly confront it and admit it for what it is and then attack specifically those things that are causing the problem and do everything that can be done to correct it. Because the first and foremost duty of any government, and particularly I want to talk about our government, our concept of government, where we think one of the first, foremost, and primary duties of our government is to protect our inalienable rights, and I would agree with that, but also almost concurrently with, and certainly only on a slightly lower level then, are the need to maintain a civil society, maintain order, and defend the national sovereignty against external and internal threats. Those three things, if you have a government that doesn't do those three things, you don't need to have it. You don't need to pay taxes to a government that won't do that.
Yes. You guys, I'm going to have to cut in right here. Man, this thing is getting good. It always gets good when it's time for the show to end, but I'm going to have to end it right there. Want to appreciate everybody for coming out. Pianchi, Sarge, I ain't get the name of the guy.
Oh, Vincent. I had more, Vincent.
I'm pretty sure y'all always bring something here. This is like, man, I just sit here just listen to y'all. But I'm going to have to cut it off right there. And hopefully next week I should have another edition of Black by Color Only. Bring your friend, bring your mama, bring your grandmama, come and listen to the show or whatever. But God willing, I should have another edition next week. And you all keep being purveyors of what you're doing right now. Keep pushing the truth out there because, you know, our country is in a lot of trouble right now. And we really need the truth tellers out there to bring everything back into center. But once again, thank you guys for coming on. I appreciate you all. Thanks for the rhetoric and whatever. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all have a great Saturday. Thank you.